This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
All right, tonight was a start. The first win for the Minnesota Twins here this baseball season. We will celebrate it. We will react to it. We will take your phone calls on this snowy evening on Final Pitch News Talk 830 WCCO. Twins. And I know that plenty of people got April Fool's jokes and all that stuff, whatever. No, we're not fooling you. Twins did get the victory tonight, 8-3 over the Chicago White Sox. If you would like to chime in, 651-461-9226. That number again, 651-461-9226. We'll talk Twins baseball for the next 30 minutes. And hopefully have a baseball game tomorrow, but just like you heard, you know, just talking about it, the weather is just, I mean, Mark Janowski just, it doesn't look good. So it doesn't look good in terms of the weather, but we're going to celebrate tonight's game. So let's start with the pitching because there's a few things to dissect here tonight with regards to through the first four games, the pitching hadn't been good for the most part. Okay, back-to-back brutal efforts from Paddock and Bailey Ober. But the pitching was okay the first couple games, then not good at all the last two. And the bats have been just brutal. Okay, let's just be honest. You take Harrison Bader out of the situation, it's been pretty bad. And Willie Castro's been fine. But pitching tonight was Simeon Woods Richardson, who I learned a whole heck of a lot about today when I was at Target Field. Sounds like he's an amazing young man. Tonight, he got his first start of the 2025 season. And what do we know about what we saw from him last year? Last year, he was put into the rotation because we were desperate for help, right? And I think that most Twins fans would acknowledge that what we saw from him was promising. You never know how things are going to shake out the following season. If you want to call it sophomore slump, however you want to look at it, people regressing. It was nice to see him step up and take the ball start after start after start. And yeah, he got tired by the end of the season. But it was a good year last year for Woods Richardson. Tonight he gets his first start. He goes four innings. He gives up five hits, two earned runs, walked one batter. He struck out five on 82 pitches. Now, Chris, this wasn't like some massive effort. He didn't go deep into the ball game. I thought that there were times where he looked a little bit, I don't know, unsure of himself. But he, unlike others, when he got into a couple of tight spots, was able to get out of those jams. That's what I appreciated. And what we've seen through the first four games is that we've had some of our pitchers get in jams and they just can't get out of those jams. Pablo, opening day, that was basically it. He's getting guys down to one strike or down to two outs and he ends up giving up a hit. I just thought that all in all, tonight wasn't like some massive great effort from Simeon Woods Richardson, but I thought it was solid.
One thing that he did is after the first couple of innings, like to me, I think he had, Yeah, the third and fourth were a little bit quicker innings, which is good because he had those 40 pitches through the first two. And I what I noticed was when he struck out Robert and then he had that Maton with the strike him out, throw him out, double play, he had a little bit of pep in his step, right? A little bit more juice, and then he went right after Andrew Vaughn and got Vaughn to strike out. So, I mean, that could have been a really bad start for Simeon Woods Richardson. So, after that, you know, I mean, Andrew Benintendi is going to, you know, forever get the Twins. And, I mean, he just gave up that the RBI single, you know, and what, the sac fly. But, I mean, overall, he limited the damage, which is, I mean, honestly, more than we can say for, you know, three out of the previous four starters.
I just think that right now, one of the things that's been a theme here in the first week is that the Twins pitchers have not been able to limit the damage.
Yep.
And he was able to do that tonight. We saw that with Pablo. We saw it clearly with Bailey Ober. And we saw it also from Chris Paddock. Being able to get out of jams and limit the damage is something he was able to do tonight that those other guys were not able to do.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to get a little bit lucky with it. You know, when Luis Robert struck out, it was a great pitch for Ryan Jeffers to throw on. And Maton, he kind of reminded me the old Willie Mays Hayes, right, where he slides into second base and you just got the fielders there just waiting for him. I mean, Willie Castro was just sitting there waiting for him and, you know, put the tag on him. And to me, I think that was just to be able to get through the heart of the lineup at that point, Henry. I thought that was just a nice little momentum builder. And right now, I think the Twins were just looking for anything and everything that they could do to get a little bit of positive vibes.
The five spot in the sixth, that inning was just, I know it was a clear breakout inning for the Twins. The offense has been not good to start this season. But my goodness, man, to see the smiles, to see the quality at bats in that inning, to me, that was a moment. And it's, look, I know it's the Chicago White Sox who had a horrible year, you know, arguably the worst season that we've seen in Major League Baseball history last year. But I think that there could be a massive positive effect from that inning tonight, that they can take and carry that into the rest of, I don't know, the rest of this month. I know that we're just kicking off April and all that stuff, whatever. But you can take that momentum, Chris, from a key at bat, a key inning, putting things together. It just really snowballed for the White Sox, and in a good way, it snowballed for the Minnesota Twins offensively.
Yeah, it's the first real big inning that they had, and you know, they made good contact early in that game, but I mean, let's be honest, tonight was not exactly the night that, you know, all the exit velocity and the launch angle, this, that, you know, fine, all the buzzwords that everybody uses in baseball, it's the old Yogi Berra, just hit it where they ain't.
Yes, you just stole my thought. I was just about to bring that up, because that's the phrase everybody talks about, yep.
Yeah, and I mean, really, all of this with two outs, so it's like all of these things that the Twins have not been able to do, right? Well, you haven't been able to, you know, to be successful, you know, runners in scoring position. Well, 6-for-12, check. Yeah. Oh, you couldn't get the two out hits. Check, check, check. What I like about it, Henry, is It was contact. It was putting the ball in play. It's, you know, the proverbial death by paper cuts. You know, you're playing small ball. You don't need the bloop and the blast. You put the ball in play. I mean, Ty France had a couple of awful swings, but then he just, you know, a little single, and that gets you within one. You know, Eddie Julian just went up, great job taking a ball that was low outside and just, you know, going opposite field. So it's just the little things that can add up. And tonight the Twins did things that they've notoriously been, you know, have been liabilities. So for one night, everything that we've been worrying about, we can kind of put that to the side.
I'll say this. For a while there, I don't know how you felt about this, but Shane Smith getting the start for the White Sox, I was saying to myself, are we really going to do this? We're already 0-4, and we're going to let this guy make us look bad. He went 5 2/3, gave up a couple of hits, 2 earned runs. He walked 4 batters. He struck out 3 on 73 pitches. I just kept saying to myself, This cannot be a thing. We're not going to do this. We got to touch this guy up.
Hey, we almost got no hit yesterday. So, I mean, I would consider getting to Shane Smith a win.
Oh.
I mean, it's the little things, right? But I think, too, Henry, one thing that I feel goes, you know, that fans might not appreciate is even though Matt Wallner's got big swing and miss opportunity in the kid's country strong, the fact that he drew three walks today out of the leadoff spot, and, you know, he's not your prototypical leadoff hitter. We've talked about this, but this is why you have Matt Wallner there, because if you just want somebody that's going to get on base, it's the on base percentage. It's not the speed. It's somebody that, you know, can set the table and get the heart of your lineup more at bats. And, you know, I think that's why you see somebody like Matt Wallner, you know, even if he's not hitting the ball out of the ballpark, just being able to have that discernible eye, that's one of the reasons why he's where he's at.
All right, 651-461-9226. Love to get your texts. Love to get your phone calls reacting to a Twins victory tonight over the Chicago White Sox. Win number one on the season. We'll take a break. We'll come back, get your reaction next year on Final Pitch. All right, welcome back to Final Pitch. Twins win. Twins win. 8-3 over the White Sox. Taking your reaction, 651-461-9226. Oh, we waited too long. You know, it's I almost felt like if you go to a Timberwolves game, most people know that the crowd at Target Center, they have to stand up until the Wolves score a basket. That's their deal, right? You gotta stand until they score a basket. It could be one trip down, it could be a couple of minutes. Whatever it is, that's the deal. Imagine having to wait to celebrate a Twins victory and to take that many days. That would be such a bummer.
Yeah, you want to know what, though, Henry? I only get, like, maybe one haircut a year. And I mean, you know, I like to get a little shaggy.
You get one haircut a year?
Yeah, I go, like, once every 7 months. I went today and got a haircut.
That's not one a year.
Well, I mean, every 7 months, yeah, it's you know.
How many months in a year?
It's well, 12, but what's less than 12? Seven. So that's, you know, basically one a year. So I decided to shave, and I got a haircut, and because my last haircut, the Twins have not played well. That goes back to last August. Today, they won. So I want to take credit for my new hygiene for that's why the Twins won. Because
right,
I'm
So make sure you go get a haircut again on Thursday.
A haircut every day. Every day that the Twins play.
Well, I mean, you want some credit? You want to sacrifice for the team? That's sacrifice.
I know.
Sacrifice.
Right? I know. I'm going to be looking. I'm going to be looking, you know, fresh and clean.
We'll take it. All right, 651-461-9226. Let's take a phone call from Kelly Mattson.
And you know, that sounded kind of funny.
I know. Chris Tubbs getting a haircut every single day, right, Kelly?
Yeah. You know, that's my cousin knows how to cut hair, so we'll have to see if she's a professional for my hair. Otherwise, my hair will be looking goofy. And
Your cousin needs to start cutting Chris's hair, I say, every day.
Well, she's coming all the way from Bemidji, Minnesota.
Okay. All right. He'll tip her gas money.
Yeah. Yep. She got a car, so she can handle it.
That's good. That's good. All right. What did you make of tonight's baseball game, Kelly?
You know, I wish that, was it Coulomb that got the win? I wish that he could have
tonight
wiped away my tears. Yeah, tonight.
No, tonight the win went to Louis Varland.
Yeah, I wish Louis Varland could have wiped away my tears, but unfortunately, that's not going to help wipe away my tears from my electronics.
Oh, well, that's yeah. A bummer. Well, thanks to the phone call from Kelly Madsen and Fridley, we'll just go ahead and start collecting some more victories, and then Kelly won't have any tears to wipe away. But. Let's talk about that bullpen for a second, Chris, because I know that Louis Varland got the win, but everybody in the bullpen that came out tonight was good. Griffin Jack's a little bit shaky. Mm-hmm. He had us all nervous. Spectacular play by Carlos Correa. But how about the inning that Jorge Alcala had where he strikes out the side? That was as good of an inning as he's had in the Twins uniform.
I was honestly, Henry, I was a little surprised that Rocco put him back out there in a high leverage situation after what had happened in St. Louis, because mm-hmm. you know, we knew, okay, you know, Joe Ryan had a good start and kind of everything was setting up. And I was even making my notes. I'm like, everything is setting up the way that Rocco Baldelli would want it. And then, you know, you see Jorge Alcala out there, gets behind the first guy, and you're like, okay, is it going to happen? And then just like, bing, bang, boom, and you're like, oh, okay. But, I mean, you know, that was one of those moves that if it doesn't work out, Rocco is absolutely going to get blistered. I think it was a gutsy call. I think it was a big risk putting him out there. Now, granted, it was 8-9-1 in the lineup, so it's not like you were going, you know, you were not facing Luis Robert and Vaughn and Benintendi and Vargas. Like, you were not facing those guys, but to put him out there after, you know, the shakiness that he had, I believe that was Saturday in St. Louis. That was, I give Rocco credit because that allowed him to continue to use his bullpen in a way, and he did not have to use Duran in the ninth inning.
I love this from the text line from the 952. Should I get a haircut too? Everybody get a haircut.
Everybody get a haircut.
That's what I say.
It's a lucky haircut.
If everybody wants to get a haircut, voluntarily get a haircut, maybe we could end up 158-4. What do you think?
We are going to be the best looking fan base in baseball.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
I mean, I don't think that, I mean, some people are just going to be ugly regardless of haircut.
Oh, Lake. Well, you know what? To quote you,
I'm just a sexy black man on the radio.
How you like that for a drop?
651-461-9226. Let's talk about Harrison Bader for a second.
Worst offseason signing, apparently, according to the Twins fan base before they actually.
Who said that? Who said that?
Oh, I mean, dude, when he signed, it was like, oh, Harrison Bader, this guy, he's
no,
going to move the needle.
I did hear that. I heard people just kind of poo-pooing it. And I'm not going to sit here and say that he's a game changer or that, like, that's the signing of the. No, I'm not saying any of that. But so far through the first week, he's got a couple of home runs.
Harrison Bader is going to be a wonderful addition to this team. I think we need to just take a breath and realize, yeah, you're not going to get the new shiny toy, you know, that's going to be debuting on Black Friday, right? You might have to wait to be a late adapter to get your guys like the Ty France or the Harrison Baders. But you saw what kind of a just how vital a guy like that can be, you know, in there for defense, but just a veteran hitter too, like a veteran guy who knows what he's doing.
I think that tonight, Ryan Jeffers, nice night at the plate, 2-for-5 at the plate with a run batted in. It was just some quality at bats. Like Jeffers is somebody that I really like. I think he's a great guy. He's a good catcher. I appreciate him. And we just, if he could just continue to be solid, and he's had a decent start to the year. Our offense has just not been good this year. Tonight was that breakout, you know, inning or that evening. But regardless of all of that, man, Carlos Correa and Byron Buxton, this is beyond a slow start. This is just, and it, look, it's five games, so I'm not going to freak out. But this is an extremely slow start. Carlos Correa doesn't have a hit on the season yet.
You know, I'm not so much worried about those guys right now because
Carlos typically starts slow.
Yeah, he does. But at the same time, we look at them and what they're doing at the dish, and it's like, oh man, look at him. You know, Carlos Correa is like 0-17, and you know, not, you know, he's struggling. Well, yes, but I think the difference right now when you're not getting Carlos Correa, you know, making good contact, you saw tonight the difference that he can make. It wasn't even just that catch that he made in the eighth inning that saved the game for the Twins. It was also, you know, earlier on in the game, I believe it was in the second inning, when Vargas popped up and Correa had to go back, made the catch, and then just almost doubled up Benintendi. I mean, there are very few shortstops that can play the way that Carlos Correa can, and especially that catch that he made to essentially keep that game where it was at. Just an incredible, incredible job by Carlos Correa. There are only a handful of guys that can make that play, and even when he's struggling, the very fact that he can make that play defensively, I mean, I don't think Twins fans can. You can complain about the bat, but you can't complain about the glove.
All right, real quickly, I got to bring this up. So we're having one hell of an inning in the sixth, right? What was the deal with the trying to steal home plate? That was a buzzkill, dude.
Yeah, I don't.
Everything going, all the momentum. You've got them on the ropes, and Edward Julian was sending him to try to steal home plate. That was mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. I felt like maybe they were trying to be just a little bit too cute, because you're ending the inning there, and like you said, on the ropes. I literally wrote here, don't like it. Had them on the ropes, comma, and gave them an out.
Free out.
You gave them a free out, and you've got Matt Wallner up. That's the whole thing that just... It confuses me. You don't need to get too cute at that point. You're continuing to have these good at-bats. Don't give yourself a reason to end your own momentum. Like, make them make a play on you.
And I didn't get that at all.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, Chris and Danny were talking about, well, you know, did he step off? Did he not step off?
Well, I thought it was a balk. If they're calling a balk on Pablo Lopez last week, and I didn't think that was, how is that not a balk?
I mean, it didn't look like he stepped off. But,
oh, it looked like he stepped because he double stepped.
Okay, when I was watching it, maybe I didn't see the double step. I think I was more annoyed by the very fact that they did not the fact that the Twins screwed themselves out of the inning. Yeah. I think that just it doesn't matter if it was a balk, was it not a balk. At the end of the day, the Twins just they gave up an out, and thankfully, it didn't matter, but sometimes you just get a little too cute.
Yeah. All right, 651-461-9226. We'll break. We'll come back. We've got one more segment of Final Pitch on The Good Neighbor. All right, final couple of minutes here. News Talk 830 WCCO. The show is Final Pitch, where we talk Twins postgame, and we like to celebrate victories. And we're doing that tonight. Twins win going away 8-3. It wasn't that type of game, though. Like, you know how, like, in sports, the score is not really indicative of how the game was going? This was essentially the Twins, after trailing 3-0, had a breakout inning in the sixth. Then the bullpen is getting it going after Simeon Woods Richardson goes 4 innings. They finish it up, do a really good job. And then in the ninth inning, you got the Harrison Bader 3-run bomb that was tacked on there. So good for the Twins. Nice outing. And I think that most Twins fans are like, about damn time that they got the victory. Your reaction, 651-461-9226. If you missed it earlier when we were talking about the early portion of the game pitching-wise, Simeon Woods Richardson got the start. He went 4 innings, gave up 5 hits, 2 earned runs, had a walk, five strikeouts on 82 pitches. Louis Varland actually ended up getting the win. He came in the fifth, pitched an inning, gave up one hit, one earned run, no walks, couple of strikeouts on 11 pitches. The bullpen was really, really good tonight. And the one person specifically I want to call out that did a really good job was Jorge Alcala. He struck out the side, and he looked really good. And like Chris mentioned a little bit ago, that it was nice to see him just kind of bounce back and be in a really good situation tonight, and he looked good. And, you know, you love to see a pitcher that has had some struggles have a dominant performance, and they walk off the mound, and they are pumped up. They are feeling really, really good. That's just the bottom line there. So if you're a Twins fan, that has to make you feel a little good, a little bit good about tonight's effort. And I'll say this, Chris, I think that the one thing about the Twins, because I'm a Twins believer, not a Twins homer, there's a difference. I think that most people believe that our bullpen is going to be one of the best bullpens in Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ready to go there yet. I believe they got to prove it. Like you got to show me. Don't tell me that this is going to be one of the best bullpens. They need to show that they're going to be one of the best bullpens.
Oh, for sure. And I think we all know that. And I mean, based on the...
I think that we crowned them last year. I think that people crowned the Twins bullpen as going to be elite. Well, and it never lived up to that.
Yeah, well, I mean, based on the numbers and the analytics, it should have been a whole lot better. And we saw that early it didn't. And the first couple games, I mean, I don't know how much we really could have read into it because of how atrocious the starting pitching was. But tonight, I thought they answered the call. And, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, Jorge Alcala, absolutely an awesome outing for Jorge Alcala.
Yeah. So I just want to get to, because we have, you know what we've done so far? We've been privy to a bunch of damn highlights of all of the other teams, or the other teams that we played, other than the White Sox has been St. Louis. But mm-hmm. in the other games, we have heard all the great highlights from those other squads. I don't care about that. Let's get to the sixth inning when the Twins actually made some noise. And it started with because we put together some really quality at-bats, got some runners on base. Let's start with the Ryan Jeffers RBI single to get the Twins on the board.
Right-hander checks the runner at second, delivers. Swung on, hit into right center field. That's trouble. That's going to land for a base hit. Buck's going to score. Twins get on the board, trail 3-1. Jeffers just kind of a cue shot to right center.
What up? Hey, Ty France, why don't you keep this thing going?
And here it is. There's a ground ball. Base hit up the middle. Larnick being waved around. He'll score. Roberts throw back to second. And Jeffers going to be just safe at second base. So an 0-2 base hit up the middle. Plates Larnick. And now the Twins trail 3-2.
And I kept saying to myself, let's just go ahead and make sure that we can get this thing all even at 3 apiece. Because I know that sometimes we rally and we fall a little bit short. Edward Julian gets the single, and we're all square.
Falling behind 1-0, and a pitch. Line drive, base hit into left field. Jeffers going to score. They're going to hold the runner up. France at third base, and it's 3-3 tie. Julian going the other way. Solid base hit.
And then at this particular point, I'm like every other Twins fan. I'm like, let's get greedy. And we did that, Jose Miranda with a two-run single.
Little number off the end of the bat, shallow right field. That might land. It's going to land for a base hit. Here comes Castro. He's going to score. And just like that, the Twins lead now 5-3.
So I loved everything about that. That was awesome. Okay, we led 5-3 at that point. Let's hear that defensive gem that we got from Carlos Correa, the diving catch, Robin Vargas in the bottom of the eighth.
The 1-2 again. Swung on and lined back up the middle, and a diving catch made by Carlos Correa. That ticket was punched for center field and an RBI single, and Carlos Correa laid out and put that platinum glove to use for out number two.
And last but not least, the Harrison Bader three-run bomb. We definitely want to hear that.
Second baseman Sosa dogging him. The pitch is swung on and hit high and deep. Left field for Bader. Back at the wall. No wind can stop it. It's a home run. Three-run home run for Harrison Bader. And the Twins lead it now 8-3 as they blow it open here in the ninth.
That was awesome. All right, let's hear from the winning manager, Rocco Baldelli. He's been waiting for a five-run inning like they got today.
Yeah, we were waiting for a nice five-run inning. I mean, that's kind of what we were, all looking forward to. You knew it was coming at some point soon. And even the hard-hit balls, you're right, there were, again, some scalded baseballs out there that, you know, didn't amount to anything. But we stayed on it. We didn't relent, got the runs. And our pitching held them down and did a nice job. It was a good effort for the entire team.
All right, and it was a good effort for the entire team. Now, for tomorrow, the Twins are scheduled to play Chicago in the final game of the three-game series. Pablo Lopez on the mound. It's supposed to be a 1-10 first pitch, but like me and Chris discussed a little bit earlier, the weather looks horrible. Like, it's snowing plenty right now.
The weather outside is frightful. Like,
The weather is coming down. The snow is coming down pretty good tonight here in Minneapolis, and it sounds like in Chicago, it's going to be some bad weather. So they're not sure if they're going to be able to get that game in. We will see how things play out. But nonetheless, we will talk to you guys tomorrow night right here on The Good Neighbor, 6 o'clock on The Late Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.